This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's hour two of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. We're live on VSiN and DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. So much to get to as it pertains to the draft because round one officially tomorrow in Detroit. It's hard to believe that we're finally here because we've been discussing these odds for such a long time.
Yeah, we really have. I mean, you know how this offseason, we're week 11 of the offseason. I think we have like 24 weeks to get through to get to the games. But, you know, this the buildup of the draft is so fun, you know, and these players get graded, you know, that every week they become better and better and better. And, you know, it's like all of a sudden you think we're in this, you're going to get these Pro Bowl players in every single round. So it's fun. And it's interesting, and no one, and you would have never thought that when Burt Bell went to Minnesota to sign a fullback, and he came back because the fullback turned down his offer, that his idea of the NFL draft would work.
Yeah.
And it did. And this whole media landscape of covering the draft is phenomenal. I mean, they're just reading names, and yet it's it's so good.
It's
and
a
I'm a drafty.
Spectacle.
I love it. I'm a drafty. The mock draft thing, and nobody realizes this. I wrote about this in Football Done Right. The mock draft started in Long Beach because the Long Beach Telegraph, the newspaper out there, their writer was also the voice of the Rams. And so they were drafting then in January. And so in the summer, they decided to put together a mock draft on what the teams would do because everybody was picking in January. And then the mock drafts took off. There was a guy in Cincinnati named Jerry Jones, not the Jerry Jones, and we'll get to him in a second, that started this thing called the Drugstore List. And he would literally just type out his views on these college players, and it took off.
Our own Matt Eumanns has a mock draft out on VSiN.com. He's going to join us coming up in 15 minutes, get his perspective on the draft and the bets that he has made, the bets that you can still make, especially, by the way, here in Nevada, time is winding down because 24 hours ahead of that first round beginning, you cannot wager on the draft anymore in Nevada because of the Gaming Association rules. We'll also this hour have Harry Gagnon join us on the Progressive Guest Line, former sportsbook supervisor, now host of the Against All Odds podcast in his usual Wednesday spot. But before we get to some of the other news that has come out in the day, obviously, Michael, you've been in those rooms. You've sat in those seats. You use the word fun and interesting to describe the draft from where we're sitting now. But when you're actually sitting in that chair having to make the pick, what's this week like? What are the final 24 hours leading up to the day like?
Well, they're just really a lot of just sitting around waiting, you know, and you've made your phone calls. You kind of have an idea, your board set, your trade board, which is off to the side where you write down all the teams that you potentially could talk to. You know, like say you're Minnesota. Well, in their draft room, they probably have five or six scenarios of trades up on their board that they're looking at to determine where they need to go and how it needs to go. But the draft is a reactionary event. You can't really make a lot of deals. You can make a deal with Arizona today because they'll move. But most teams won't move until they know who they're moving away from. And so you can only prepare for that event. And that's usually what has happened this week. And then finally, you just, like, tomorrow's a long day, right? It's 3.5 hours. It starts at 7:30, 8:30. You know, by the time they turn the picks in, it starts at, what, 8 o'clock? Yeah. You know, you just basically, you want to block out the noise. You don't want to react to some stupid rumor that you know could be completely true, or some Reddit thing that's going on that has no relevance at all. And just kind of focus on making sure you've got all your phone calls lined up and that you have your horizontal board perfectly situated in your mind, and you play that scenario. If we're at 14, if we're Pittsburgh and we're here, do we trade up to get the center? Do we sit tight? How do we handle that? And you just kind of keep that, but you're doing it kind of in your own mind with somebody else, because you have too many people involved. It just clouds the issue.
So I watched a video that Adam Schefter posted the other day of Monty Austinfort last year in the draft room, making calls, wheeling and dealing with the Texans, wheeling and dealing, so on and so forth beyond that. And it seemed like, at least from my perspective, kind of thrilling. Like, you see Jonathan Gannon sitting over there just like, oh yeah, like hyping Monty up as he's making the calls back and forth and telling him what to write up on the whiteboard. Is it an exciting thing to go through when you're on the phone? Or is it like, I want to get this over with and I want to be done?
No, your blood's flowing. It's really great. You know, you kind of, okay, here's what we talked about. You want to do this? Can you make this deal? All right, you call in the league office, because you have to call the league office to send the deal in so that the league office has the trade before it's consummated. So, okay.
And you have such limited time, so the calls are quick.
You got limited time. So you say, that's what he's saying to his guy. Write this up on the board. Send that into the thing. Here's what we got. Nick, we got a deal? Yeah, we got a deal. Okay, we're going to send it in. You send it in. Talk to you later. Boom, that's how it goes. But a lot of this has been preliminary done. It's been done when there's kind of a calmness to it. But then all of a sudden, once you get on the clock, you got to go. Mm-hmm. So Monty probably was getting that call from Nick before he was on the clock. Once Nick turned in that they were picking, you know, once the first pick got turned in, once Bryce Young got turned in, that during that time, Nick and him were probably going back and forth. Here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. All right, let me call you back. I'll call you right back. And then you're going back and forth. Somebody else may call in. No, put that up on the board. Let's see what's a better deal. What deal should we take? Okay, let's go here. No, we're doing that. All right. Mm-hmm. Call Nick back. Tell him we'll do that deal. And sometimes you've turned down other deals. You call the guy back and say, well, I'm not doing it. No. What do you mean you're not doing it? Okay, call that. All right, you hang up and you just go to the next one.
It's crazy. It's organized chaos, it seems like. But that's awesome. And it's got to be such a rewarding feeling, too, when you get the guy that you wanted or you get the compensation that you're fighting for and you feel like you got that little bit of an edge. Regardless, you're making guys dream come true that they've been waiting to have happen for their entire life, and getting to make that phone call is an unbelievable feeling.
And the less people in the room, the more you're able to focus and concentrate, because you have too many people kind of, and you'll see these rooms, they're loaded. I mean, it's standing room only. It looks like Henry Hill when he was trying to get the table at the Copa. I mean, it's like nobody's in there. You know, it's like you kind of need less people than anything. And I think that's, you know, when in our room in Cleveland, it was very, you know, Belichick's room is going to be very, very small, because you got to focus and concentrate. Yeah. Like, and then you've got to be able to really understand how the teams behave. This is the teams that really, you know, Joe Douglas, you have a profile on who he likes to pick. You're constantly looking at his selections that he's made over his time as a GM. You're also looking at a workbook that tells you who they brought in. Okay. What players they brought in, who they've given physicals to, who they've worked out. So you kind of have an idea about where they're going. And so now that tells you, okay, I got to get over him to get the player I want. Mm-hmm. And that's where you're leading all this data. It's not, you're not relying on Mel. You're not relying on Adam. You're relying on, okay, they worked out. Like, for example, Atlanta has worked out every single quarterback in this draft. They've been to the workouts. They've taken time, whether it's Spencer Rattler, whether it's Michael Pratt. They've worked out everyone, including the top ones. But they've really spent time. So you know they're going to take a quarterback at some point. And you know that. And so if you like a quarterback, then you got to go get him. For example, we wanted to take a long snapper. We wanted to take a long snapper. We knew the Chiefs were working out all the long snappers. But we also knew they didn't have a pick at a certain point in the draft. So we could lock them out.
Okay.
And so you're constantly looking at that. And that's why you need to be able to focus and concentrate. You need to know the needs really well. And you need to know how they behave. How they behave is so damn important, right? Like, that just doesn't fit this guy. That doesn't fit this player. Like, you know, you get the sense of who they pick. This is what Chris Ballard likes to do. okay, and you understand it. And that's really what you're focusing on. Well, if you've done it for a living, you kind of know. Whereas everybody in the mock drafts, they don't really know how the grading systems work or how the teams think.
And that's why mock drafts largely are just a mockery at this point.
They really become but, they become so bad because they just – and it's not – I mean, they're fun to look at. They're engaging. And what you do with mock drafts is you take all that data from everywhere and you load it into an algorithm and you find out the conversations of who are the top 100 players around the league.
To me, a lot of mock drafts are more empty calories than anything else because they largely don't accommodate for trades. And I mean, because you can't, right? You don't know what's going to happen in the moment, but it's all very interesting. And like you said, it's fun to read and see different perspectives. Great that you had a write-up on VSiN.com this week as we get up to the draft about the Cowboys. And it felt very timely considering Jerry Jones was speaking to media yesterday and he said a lot of things, which he always does, but this time pertaining to Dak Prescott and the status of certain contracts. It was very interesting. Take a listen to Jerry.
You may be working on it and not moving anything but your eyebrows. Who in the world would think that we're not working on it? I work on it. It pops open at 2 in the morning sometimes. What you're actually question is why don't you have something done and negotiated and put in the drawer? Well, we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action.
I love that. I love that. I mean, he's right. I mean, they're working on it. They understand it. They're not sitting there saying we're ignoring it. Now, what I wrote about in the column is they. It's nothing to do with them not signing Micah or CD or extending Dak. I truly believe Jerry, when he said he was all in, that was his all in. I think for him to catch a lot of heat for not having those contract done is ridiculous. I think the bigger concern is how many needs they have, you know, how many, you know, musts that they have to get done for them to be able to figure this out. You know, and that's where I get into a problem because we know this, the NFC East has never been a repeat team conference, right? The number one winning team in the NFC East are the Cowboys over the last 10 years. The number two are the Philadelphia Eagles. And then after that, it just goes downhill. The Giants haven't won a division in 10 years. The Washington team has won two, and one of them were they were sub 500. And the Cowboys have won it 5 times, and the Eagles have won it 3. So for me, for Jerry to get back there, he has too many of those on paper that he needs to add. You know, paper depth is meaningless. And so when they have these, can they find a corner? He has way too many can they find this player. Mm. And that's my concern about the Cowboys and why I think the under 9.5 is more relevant.
They have been a team that's had success drafting and developing. But like when you've done nothing to better your team like they have this time around, it's hard to stomach them getting better this year when you have a lame duck coach, a lame duck quarterback contract right now as well. And you got rid of Tyron Smith and you got rid of Tony Pollard. And who's going to run the ball for this team? I don't know. We have a lot of questions. So I understand where you're coming from there. We're going to hit the break. Matt Eumanns will join us coming up next.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Experience the thrill of the NFL draft with VSiN's exclusive coverage coming up tomorrow, starting at 6 Eastern with VSiN Primetime. Our hosts, Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel, as well as special guests Mike Golic Sr. and Jr., will have a deep dive into all the draft prospects and their predictions. Stay locked in for a special edition of the GM Shuffle as well at 8 Eastern, where our guy Michael Lombardi and Femi Abebefe bring you real-time analysis of those first-round picks. Michael's giving out his thoughts on every draft pick and trade as it happens. You won't want to miss it. Watch this special of the GM Shuffle on VSiN and DraftKings Network, as well as VSiN's YouTube page. And then cap off the evening at 11 Eastern with VSiN Tonight, where they'll wrap up the first round action. Our guy, Matt Eumanns, you can also find his mock draft right now at VSiN.com/draft. And I feel like this is just the smoothest transition of ever that we've ever. And then, of course, I'm messing it up verbally. Great. No, Matt Eumanns is on the line, if you heard that laugh. After he just told me in the commercial break that I better get this right. Matt Eumanns, welcome in. How are we today?
Hey, doing well. Watching NFL Network, listening to Stormy and Michael. What could be better on the eve of the NFL draft?
Yeah, it is good. If you're watching NFL Network, you're not watching us, though. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, we're not over there.
Matt's got multiple screens.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
I can listen to your show and watch NFL Network.
I bet you're getting well informed.
He mutes him. He's a genius.
I got it. I love that. All right. So are you buying the six quarterbacks in the first round there? Because I certainly am.
You know, I worked on my mock draft 8 days ago, so it's out there a little bit. I still feel pretty confident about most of it. Now, I felt good about pretty good about five quarterbacks most of the way. I read I read your column on VSiN.com overnight after Bill Ady teased it in the newsletter, and I saw your paragraph about six quarterbacks. The one player I've doubted the whole time in terms of quarterback is Bo Nix. Is he going to be a first rounder? Michael, and I called you before I was working on my mock draft, and we talked about Michael Penix and a team that would probably take him in the 20s, and I agree with that. I wonder who's taking Bo Nix late in the first round. So I feel pretty good about five. I'm not as confident in six, but if you've been informed that somebody says Bo Nix is going to go in the back end of the first round, I'm not going to argue that. I could see it happening, but that's the one quarterback I've questioned in that group the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Stormy, I think beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right, Matt? And all these quarterbacks have issues, including Caleb Williams. None of them are as the worldwide leader would lead you to believe, generational. You know, they're good players, but I think we've extended over our skis a little bit in terms of their quality of their play based on college. So, look, I do know this, that coachability and fit within the offensive framework is the words that I keep hearing that fit for Bo Nix. Now, he doesn't throw the ball down the field, all those things, but he protects it. I think it only takes one. And, you know, based on my sources, I think there is a couple teams that like him that would trade back into the first or maybe even pick them. And again, it really only matters how they play. It doesn't matter where we see them picking them. And I think that's where this whole draft process is wrong. I said this to Stormy. If Sean Payton would have picked Tony Romo when he was in Dallas in the first round, instead of getting him as a free agent, everybody would have killed the Cowboys. They would have said they're idiots, but he ended up being the best player in their draft that year.
Yeah. And, don't forget that the 49ers traded up and traded a boatload to get Trey Lance and took Brock Purdy with the last pick of the draft. And that was a very poor draft class for the 49ers, except it got salvaged by the last pick of the draft. So that can make all the difference. I'm just trying to figure out what the right fit is for Bo Nix and which team towards the end of the first round would take him. And I think the Broncos make the most sense, but we'll see how that works out. Yeah, when you work on a mock draft, it's about what you think the teams are doing, not what you would do. And you always have to keep that in mind, obviously.
Yeah, which I'm sure can be hard to separate yourself sometimes. Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight, weekdays on the network here, 8 to 11 local. Article up again at VSiN.com. Right now, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. So in addition to your mock draft, though, you also have laid out all of your best bets, I believe 10 of them here. Do you have one or two that you feel like the most confident in, that when you got the information, you see the way things shake out, that you think, okay, yeah, this is for sure going over or under in terms of position?
For sure.
I mean, okay, sure. You know what I mean, yeah.
I feel pretty confident in some of them, and you know, those aren't all my best bets. Those were my best bets at the time. Like I said, that was 8 days ago. I've probably got over 20 bets now. But a lot of the bets are on draft positions because you have a market out there with different, different numbers on the draft positions at different books. And there were some pretty good numbers up there for me to grab on some players I liked. I did take Brock Bowers over 11.5, and that's an interesting one to me because a lot of people are mocking the Georgia tight end to the Jets at 10. I don't think that's the Jets need at 10. I think they have to go offensive line with that play, with that pick. And I also played the Jets' first pick to be an offensive lineman at plus 120. And I could see Bowers falling to a team like the Broncos at number 12. That's a toy that Sean Payton could work with in his offense. Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback from Toledo, I played his draft position over 13.5. That's one of the ones I like the most. Also, let's see. I'll give you a few more. I played J.J. McCarthy over 5.5 draft position of plus 135.
Hmm.
And I'm going to throw this one to Michael because I know it doesn't make sense to me, and it probably doesn't make sense to Michael. I'm just trying to figure out who would take J.J. McCarthy in the top five. The more I sit down and look at it, I said, okay, the Patriots probably not going to do it at 3. If the Vikings trade up to 3, they're probably trading up for Drake May. Maybe the Giants take McCarthy at 6, but, hey, that's over 5.5. That's one I like, and that's one I bet here in the last 36 hours is McCarthy over 5.5. Michael, what do you think of that one?
Well, I think that makes sense. I think he is really has moved up a lot of boards, and I think that, you know, you can't predict the – I think the Giants certainly could be in play. They're trying to move up for somebody, whether it's Drake May. Now, could they be trying to move up to 4 to get Marvin Harrison? I don't see that, but, you know, Harrison fits what they do. But they're telling people privately they want to move up to get a quarterback. Same thing with Minnesota. Minnesota wants Drake May. I think that's the guy that they do want. That's what they're telling people, so we'll see. You know, I think that the one I like the most, Matt, and obviously I'm not a betting man, so I don't bet. I mean, I like the Bo Nix going over 32.5. I really like that one. I talked about that in my draft. But I like Byron Murphy to go in the – I think today – I looked at the DraftKings since I'm here. I think it's 15.5 in the first round, and I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. And he's starting to gain some momentum now. And you have him going 9 to Chicago. I think he goes 8 to the Atlanta Falcons. And I think ultimately, I think you're right with the Tennessee Titans taking a receiver, even though I think they need an offensive lineman.
Yeah, Byron Murphy under 16.5 is another draft position play I made there because I think he's got a decent shot to go in the top 10. So under 16.5, had to lay a little bit more juice on. I wanted to around 180 on that one. But Murphy's a 300-pound run stopper. You know, there are some comparisons, and these are always a stretch. But he's been talked about in the Aaron Donald terms, which is he's not going to be Aaron Donald. But if you're trying to make a comp to some players, that's what some draft analysts have made the comp to. Yeah, so I think there's a pretty good chance that Byron Murphy goes under that number of 16.5. And again, for those who don't know the draft position, how that draft position stuff works, if it's over 16.5, that means 17. Under 16.5 means 16. And some do get confused on that. I'll say this. In my mock draft, I got Rome Odunze, the wide receiver from Washington, going one pick ahead of Malik Nabers, wide receiver from LSU. And if I had to do it over again, I would flip those because the more I read about scouts' opinions and what the NFL thinks of the two wide receivers, it sure looks like Malik Nabers is going to be the second wide receiver off the board, not Odunze from Washington. And that's one thing I would flip a little bit there. I know there are a lot of scouts that like Nabers a little bit better than Marvin Harrison.
Yep, that's
and,
true.
You know, though I don't think neighbors are going to go before Harrison. That's something you have to keep in mind. What happens in this draft almost every year is there is a pick in the top 10 that makes you almost fall out of your chair, if not fall out of your chair completely. I can remember the one I'll never forget is 2019. We were at the VSIN studio at the South Point during a live draft cast, and the Raiders at number 4 took Cleveland Ferrell, defensive lineman from Clemson, and I seriously about fell out of my chair.
I did too.
2 weeks later, the Giants took Daniel Jones, quarterback from Duke, at number 6, and nobody had mocked those two things. I could give you an example from a draft every year since 2019 of picks like that, but there's going to be probably a major surprise in the top 10 that nobody saw coming too.
Yeah, he's right. He is right. I mean, so if you take Daniel Jones at 6, why wouldn't you take J.J. McCarthy? I mean, like it's mm-hmm. a better player. I mean, again, it's how they play, not where were they picked.
No question about it. Matt, you're awesome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Matt. See you tomorrow, Matt. Looking forward to it. Bring the pizza, Matt.
Okay. Sounds good.
Follow him on X at MattEumans247. And, of course, like I mentioned, check out the article on VSiN.com right now with his draft projections and best bets for round one, a handful of them. The Brock Bowers one I did find particularly interesting. I just keep questioning, like, are the Jets going to mess this up and not get more offensive line depth?
Yes,
are they
going to
go?
Yes, they
are they going to go for the flashy player?
Yeah, they are. Sure, they are.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time here at VSiN, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at vsin.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage, though. This offer is for a limited time. vsin.com/splits is how you can claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. And we had some news that just came through quickly. Apparently, one record-breaking deal was not enough for the Lions today. Earlier this morning, they signed Amon-Ra St. Brown to become the highest-paid wide receiver in average annual value in guarantees. And then moments ago, Mike Garafolo reporting Penei Sewell will now be the highest-paid offensive lineman in the NFL. 4 years, $112 million, 85 guaranteed.
Wow, a lot of F-150s going out the door, aren't there? A lot of money coming in, huh? It must be selling cars in
Detroit.
I
guess so, in the Motor City.
Yeah, there we go. Harry's probably got two of them.
Yeah, so with that in mind, a great segue there. In addition to those deals, there's a little thing called the draft coming up in Detroit beginning tomorrow, and our guy Harry Gagnon certainly has some wagers as it pertains to the NFL draft. Host of the Against All Odds podcast, former sportsbook supervisor Harry Gagnon, joining us on the Progressive guest line. Yeah, so what about it, Harry? You're laughing. I know that means you've got some dollars invested.
That's wild. That's something else, boy. Detroit shelling out the money. No, listen, guys, Michael, you know I've been trying to get Bill, our buddy Bill, to give me a raise for years over the ring. So that's not happening.
Yeah. Bill's not selling the F-150s like Detroit seems to be selling, like Ford family. But look, the guy's a legitimate, and he's playing right tackle. He could easily go over and play left tackle and be a top five player. That's the thing that I wanted the Bengals to take him. Not that Chase isn't a good player, but I knew whoever took Sewell was going to get a top five player at his position. And when you get that, you got to pay for it. And you're never going to, and if he made it to the open market, he probably would get this deal or if not better. So applaud Detroit. Look, you know, the next one we're going to hear will be the Jared Goff deal. And what they pay Goff will be fascinating, because if they pay him in the same level that of the top quarterbacks, this is what happened to the Rams. They were like, wait a minute, that's not the deal. So it's interesting they've gotten St. Brown done, and Sewell done before they've gotten the quarterback done, which tells you what they prioritized, and probably it's harder to get a deal with the quarterback.
Yeah, and you know, when they drafted Sewell, I know a lot of people thought, well, that was a great pick, but also people wanted to go more a more luxurious type of wide receiver at the time.
Of course they do. Yeah, of course
but,
they do.
But again, you have to shore up your offensive line, and he's fantastic, and you know, you just have to sometimes you have to just, if that's your first pick, you got to shore up the line, and that's what they did, and they just did it now with signing him to a monster deal. That's great.
And with the offensive line too, we were talking earlier that graph that Schefter tweeted out earlier about players that hit and players that don't historically in the draft. offensive linemen were
one, two, three
that hit the most. So
and wide receiver wasn't just the lowest position at 27%. The next position was tight end at 33%. So there's a gap between that, right? There's a huge gap between that.
Sure. And Harry, yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, guys. You know, you just mentioned the offensive line hit a lot. Except it seems like whenever the Giants or the Jets draft an offensive line, it just doesn't work. It seems like for everybody else it does, but the Jets and Giants it doesn't.
Yeah, the Giants' offensive line has been offensive for a decade now. It just they can't seem to make it work. You though, by the way, it turns out have an offensive line bet when it pertains to this year's draft. What do you have for us?
I got a couple. First, how about the Texans with their first in the draft going tomorrow with their first pick? The Texans take an offensive lineman at +230. This team was special last year. The team got a ton better in the offseason. Defensively, they shored up their line with Danielle Hunter, who had 16.5 sacks last year, best season of his career. But on offense, they got Mixon. They got Stephon Diggs now. Plus, they had already had a solid receivers in terms of Bell, Collins, and Schultz. Need to bolster that offensive line for Stroud. Stroud did get sacked 38 times last year. That's the one missing part. Get another offensive line, and then he could be a piece. Again, he was an MVP candidate last year. Midway through the season, he could be again, and he probably will be an MVP candidate this coming season. Get an offensive lineman, sure up that line, and the Texans are ready to roll. And by the way, also, another offensive line, I think, Carolina at +210, take an offensive lineman with their first pick. I mean, I know, Bryce needs wide receivers. I know Bryce Young needs wide receivers, and wide receiver for the first pick for Carolina is a favorite, -135. But at +210, I think you got to go offensive line. The value is in the offensive line. You got to give him time to throw. He was sacked 62 times last year, guys, for 477 yards. I know Deontay Johnson they picked up in the offseason from Pittsburgh. Adam Thielen, who they got from Minnesota the year before, did have a great season. They had 103 receptions. And just to show that 62 times sacked last year for a rookie on a team that doesn't have a lot of weapons, Mahomes 27 times, Josh Allen 24 times, Tua 29 times. And those guys were fantastic during the regular season. You got to shore up that offensive line. Get Bryce Young, an offensive lineman in Carolina, first pick at +210.
Is there a player? How about a player prop that you like, Harry?
You know what? How about this one? I like Ladd McConkey from Georgia, +250 to be drafted, wide receiver out of Georgia, to be drafted in the first round. Not only is he a great receiver and fast, he ran a 4.39 at the combine, but this is a guy who can be the X factor on your team on offense. He's a guy that can run reverses. He's so fast. He can run the ball too. He had in all 3 years playing at Georgia, he had rushing touchdowns in those in all three seasons. And again, a guy who's got sure hands and he's quick. I think at +250, you're looking at a team maybe Bills draft. I believe 28. They need definitely to help Josh Allen out at wide receiver. They and also I think a couple weeks back I gave out Kansas City with a 32nd pick to draft a wide receiver with their first pick on the show. And I think that's another situation right there, with the Rice issues in Kansas City, you need to get another wide receiver. And at 32, I think Kansas City, that would be a great pick for the Chiefs where you can get a guy coming from a winning program, going to a winning program in Ladd McConkey.
Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast, joining us on the Lombardi line on the Progressive guest line. We also in the NBA have a couple of games coming up tonight, two tonight, three tomorrow. Anything that intrigued you on the slate as it pertains to the two games coming up this evening? Boston, a big favorite against Miami, and OKC laying 7.5 against the Pelicans.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the series between Boston and Miami. I mean, I wouldn't look, even if Miami were to, after a I expect Boston to get through tonight and go up 2-0. Even if Miami were to take game three, I don't expect anything else from Miami here. I just don't love the series overall, but I do think Bam Adebayo over 9.5 rebounds, you get plus money at +102, is a pick that you'd look towards. He averaged 10.5 boards during the regular season. I'm kind of going the other way on against a lot of styles making fun of me here, but I did have D'Angelo Russell the other day going over 2.5 threes after he went 1-for-9 before, and he had 3 threes in the first quarter. So I'm going to go the other way here because I mentioned Bam averaged 10.5 boards during the regular season, but he's had just six. Had just six in game one versus Boston. I think it's a bounce back game for him. In fact, he's had no more than seven boards in five straight games. Big game at Adebayo tonight. Also, I think, you know, the Pelicans did get their chance. They had their chance. Out of all the teams, road teams in game one, they had their chance to steal one. They didn't get it done. I think Oklahoma City can roll here. I'd lay the 7.5 here. Jalen Williams has been fantastic in the second year out of Santa Clara. He had 19 points in game one. He averaged 19 during the regular season. He's going to help this team out. And Chet Holmgren's fantastic, too. I had 11 rebounds in game one. He's a guy who can control the middle. So I think Oklahoma City rolls. And also, like I said, on the player prop, Adebayo over 9.5 boards for the Heat tonight against the Celtics.
And you like the Lakers. You think the Lakers are going to be able – one thing I've noticed, Harry, in this playoff is these older teams – like the Phoenix Suns with Durant and Beal, not that Booker's old, but they seem to fade late in the game. I mean, this is two games in a row. Mm-hmm. The Suns are right there with the Timberwolves in the third quarter, and the next thing you know, it becomes a 20-point game overnight, and you didn't see it coming. And the Lakers, the same thing. They've played the Nuggets really well. I know it was up in the altitude, but in the fourth quarter, they just seem to not be able to hold on. And you like them at home with getting the 1 point.
I do like them at home tomorrow. Yeah, you mentioned Phoenix. Very disappointing in those two games in Minnesota, Mike. But I'm going to take the Lakers plus the 1 point. I know it's 10 straight losses against Denver, but I think head coach Darvin Ham is going to get these guys all together, and they snap the streak in L.A. LeBron and AD have put up their numbers in the series. D'Angelo Russell, I just mentioned, was big in game two, and I expect him to be on fire in game three as well. In fact, I expect everybody to contribute. Everyone has to contribute for this team to knock off Denver, and I think that's going to happen in game three. L.A. has been so close, but they just can't knock off the Nuggets. But they get it done tomorrow night. I know L.A. feels Denver is getting the bulk of the, you know, 50-50 calls after you know, the post-game interviews and everything. You watch. Lakers will get the calls at home tomorrow night. This game goes 2-1. Lakers steal one here and get back in the series. I did give this out at Denver to win the series 4-2. But again, Lakers get it done on Thursday.
Okay, there we go. Good luck.
Great
with your job, bets,
Harry.
Harry.
Thank you.
Always, guys. Take care. Good luck. See
you. That's Harry Gagnon. Follow him on X at AAOHarry, the Against All Odds pod. We're going to hit the break here. Closing out the show next with a little Why Not Wednesday. Might this player get drafted on Thursday? We'll discuss.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament last week all the way through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use our code VSIN. New customers that do, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
And we're doing Why Not Wednesday today with a little twist, because usually we're looking at long shot odds. Could you say why not to them hitting? But we just have so many draft related questions that we just need Michael's opinion on these things. So starting with the Arizona Cardinals, who are sitting at pick number 4 overall. We've talked a lot throughout the show today about how Monty Austenfort kind of can do whatever he wants here. He can accept trade propositions. He can stay there and take a top tier wide receiver. So could you say why not, Michael, to the Cardinals just saying, no, we're going to keep this number 4 pick and get the best guy on the board?
No, why not here? I think they're determined.
They need a trade.
Yeah, they want more picks.
Okay.
I think they want more picks, and I think, you know, they're waiting for a haul. And no one's been willing to give them a haul yet, but that doesn't mean they won't. They know they have Minnesota desperate. They know they have the Giants. They know they could have the Raiders. I think they don't think they pick here. I would not say why not. I would say they make the pick, because I just think they feel like they need so many other positions that they can improve their team by adding more draft picks.
How much do you think will be dependent on which quarterback is available at that spot?
I think that's a great question. And, you know, I think that's where they can't get what they want right now. And if it's May, then, you know, if you're Monty, you might have hit a home run, because you know Minnesota wants to come up to get May. And there's talk that's who the Giants want. Mm. So that's why there's not going to be a trade made before the draft. I don't believe so, because you don't know who you're trading to.
Mm-hmm. One team that has been rumored to potentially be trading up for a quarterback, or could just grab one where they currently sit at number 12, is the Denver Broncos. Could you say why not to them leaving the first round without a quarterback?
No. The Broncos are picking a quarterback. I think the Broncos want a quarterback. I think they know who they want. I think they know who they like. The Zach Wilson thing, and he thanked the Jets thanked him for his contributions. I just want you to know.
What was that? There was not a single reply or quote tweet that was positive. Why even do that to the poor kid?
Why do that? I mean, let's let him just slink out of town.
Thank you for what? Awful.
Slink out of town quietly. I mean, why did you have to thank him? He should be thanking you. I think that has no relevance at all. You know, I think that Sean Payton knows. See, here's the issue for Sean Payton. He doesn't have a second round pick. Okay? He can't get to 33. He can't get to 34. He can't get, I mean, unless he trades away next year's one, and those teams are kind of don't want to do that. So he's going to have to get up there. And for him to get up there, you know, why, if you like a quarterback, maybe you trade down. Or just pick the guy. If you have conviction, just pick him. Who cares what Mel says? Who cares what I say? Who cares what anybody says? You have a track record of picking good quarterbacks. You know quarterback talent. Pick them.
And probably after having Russell Wilson thrust upon him and now still having to pay that contract out, he wants his guy.
Exactly.
So yep. Makes too much sense. How about this one? Could you say why not to more than one defensive player being taken in the top 10?
Why not? I think the corner, Mitchell, is really... I think this corner market has been really misaligned by the mockers. The Alabama corners, and if you talk to anybody at Alabama, if you watch Alabama tape, they're not shutdown corners, okay? There's really... Maybe it's... the Mitchell is, and Wiggins from Clemson. So for me, you know, if you want to get a corner, I could see the 10th pick being the corner. I could see Philly trying to trade up to get to 12 or trade up to get that corner. Hey, I could see Philly trading with Denver to get the corner, and Denver goes back to Philly at 22 and they get Bo Nix there. I could see that easily happen.
In the mocks, I feel like there's been a lot more love for defensive linemen and D tackles and edge rushers than there has been corners. But I mean, a couple really, really talented guys that could be taken earlier. How about this one? More offensive tackles to be taken in the top 10 than wide receivers. Both positions considered to have a lot of talent, a lot of depth, but wideouts certainly the stars of the show, right?
Know.
You know they want to take 25 of them in the draft.
I
Can
know.
We get more in the top 10?
And there's 27% success ratio on taking them. Yeah, it does. Yeah. I would say this, because I believe Tennessee is going to take a receiver, I wouldn't say why not to that. Yeah, I truly believe they're going to take a receiver. Because Brian Callahan believes that you build a team outside in. And he's got his dad as a luxury. He feels like my dad will make every player better, which is true. I agree with that. But you can't control the game. And so If they pass, I think they'll pass. I think they'll take Ndunze, they'll take Neighbors, or they'll take whatever receiver makes it to them. I think it's just one of those three. I don't think it'll be they reach for someone else.
You'll get a nice plus money price on them to take a wide receiver right now. I think it's like minus 310 for offensive line for Tennessee. So, Michael Penix Jr., could you say why not to him becoming a top 10 quarterback in his NFL career?
Yeah, I could say why not to that. And here's why. I think he throws the ball really well. He's smart. He makes good decisions. He's a pocket passer. He's got an arm that can reach anywhere on the field. And if he goes to the right team with the outside receivers, he can really do damage. He throws the ball inside better than Jaden Daniels does. Jaden Daniels only throws it outside or runs with it. I mean, that's what he does. He's a good player. But Jaden Daniels has over 1,000 yards rushing, Stormy, and a lot of that is because when the play breaks down, instead of making a second play, he just takes off and runs. So I like Penix. I'm higher on Penix than I think a lot of people. I really like Penix. I've said this about Penix since the first time I saw him, that Al Davis, would be his quarterback because he's big and he's got that arm and he throws the ball with great accuracy on the third level.
So with the, I mean, speaking of the Raiders, they obviously have one of those early picks. There's been a lot of talk about Antonio Pierce trying to trade up and see if he can get Jaden Daniels. But would Michael Penix be the guy potentially for them at 13?
I could see that. Now, he doesn't fit Luke Getsy's offense of the West Coast, kind of, you know, smash sevens and flats and, you know, all that. He's not a, I would say, a rhythm thrower. I don't think his arm is as often tied to his feet. They would have to reconstruct that. Tom Telesco has, you know, he picked Herbert in the first round when he was there. He would have picked Tua, and he openly says that. He would have picked Tua if Tua would have made it to him. So I think to me, you know, a lot of it depends on the harmony between the coach and the player. I don't think that could ever happen in Las Vegas because Telesco has the authority. Like when they signed Gardner Minshew, I don't think anybody realized that they were signing Gardner Minshew.
There's been a lot of odds movement nationally for the Chargers odds to take a quarterback in the first round. Opened 100-1, 15-1 yesterday. Now you can find anywhere from 9-1 to as low as 6-1 for the Chargers take a quarterback. So people are trying to make the connection. Jim Harbaugh loves J.J. McCarthy, been hyping him up so much. Could they take J.J. McCarthy?
Not people, the worldwide leader. Mike Tannenbaum started this. Mike Tannenbaum started this from ESPN.
Adam Schefter at ESPN also shut it down.
Oh, he destroyed
this morning
it. He destroyed it because it makes no sense. Because this isn't something you can do as spur of the moment. You've got guaranteed money in Herbert. You just can't. This isn't trading cards. You know, if you want to get rid of Herbert and you want to pick McCarthy, you've got to orchestrate this along the way, right? You got to orchestrate this along the way. You just can't do this on the phone because you've got guaranteed money. You've got a lot of things going on. So it makes no sense at all on paper. It makes no sense at all in terms of what we've been hearing and how much they love Herbert and how Herbert's bought in and all that. But it's something that, look, let's face it, you know, it's one of the things, and then the betting numbers move to it. People have actually been stupid enough to bet it. I don't know why they would.
Schefter said, a sucker is born every hour or something
But his own network started it. His own network started it. I mean, Mike Tannenbaum from the former GM, he's the one who started it. He's the one who's putting it out there. And maybe he put it out there because I don't listen to him. Maybe he put it out there as an idea. Hey, maybe they
and then people run with it.
And then people run with it. So, like, it makes no, like, to me as a football person, it makes no sense. Like, if, like, what I said about Kyler Murray was, I wouldn't have played Kyler Murray last year because I wouldn't want to guarantee him, I wouldn't want him to get hurt and then have to guarantee him. The Cardinals made a decision they were going to pay him. Okay, that's great. I wouldn't have done that. But that was logical. This is not logical.
I didn't even ask the question, but it's no, I can't say why not to the Chargers selecting a quarterback with their first round pick. Last one here, final 30 seconds. Could you say why not to the San Francisco 49ers trading Brandon Ayuk tomorrow on draft night?
I could say why not to that. I don't think it's
a dagger in my
heart. I've laid it out to everybody. Who are they trading him for? And if they can't replace him, look, remember this about the Niners, and no one wants to say this, but they don't have vertical outside speed. They're an inside passing game. They need Ayuk to be able to stretch the field outside. They need that badly. If they don't have someone to replace Ayuk, they can't make this deal.
They need something to get over the hump of making the Super Bowl and never winning it.
They need more defensive scheme. That's what they need.
Okay. 49ers sitting at pick 31 in the draft tomorrow. We'll see what ends up happening with or without Brandon Ayuk. That's a wrap for us today. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Michael Lombardi in person. Tomorrow's draft day. We're here.
Yes.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.